Okay, I think the last time we stopped on 2 Timothy 1:13. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we're thankful that by and through your Spirit, you are here with us right now.
Amen.
And because of that, just your presence changes us,
yes.
Washes and cleanses and teaches and just changes us.
Amen.
We thank you for that.
Amen.
We want that tonight because we're hungry and thirsty for that. Teach us your ways. Let us know what you know, think what you think, feel what you feel. We want to be in touch with you. We're not asking that you be in touch with us. We're asking that we be in touch with you.
Amen.
We want to be used by you, and the only way to do that is grow us, Lord. Grow us so we can be up to the task that you've already decided for us.
Amen.
We love you, Father. And more than that, we trust you.
Yes.
We ask you that these things are done and completed in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the next one. By the way, is any testimonies or anything? We don't need to just take off. Richard.
Yes, sir. I don't know if you remember me talking about a man that I have been asked to mentor that came through Karen. Well, he's asking to come to church Sunday. And that's not a problem. It's getting him home that's the issue right now. But I wanted everybody to be aware of this young man. He battles with diabetes. He's not living right. His morals are way off. And don't give him any money because he'll use you. His landlord has tried to help him as much as she can, and now he's using her and everybody else that he meets. So be careful of him. But praise God that he's willing to at least come and hear the word. And I pray for a big change in that man.
Amen. So if he shows up, we try to borrow money from him. Right?
Yes, sir.
Everybody go to him and ask him to borrow money, and that'll stop that, right? The best defense is an offense, right?
Yeah.
Loan me some money. I need some food. Could you front me my rent?
Yeah.
What's all the ones we've already known? Why don't we all just get them off? Huh?
Should I make up a list and we can all pick a number and we can just go off with it?
Bus passes.
What was it the guy the other night wanted? He wanted money too.
Milk. Gotta have milk.
Milk and meat.
That's what we give. Just show up. Anybody else? All right. I'll remind you of that we are trying to comprehend, and that may be even a too big a word. It reaches a little too far, but we're trying to settle in our mind who the Holy Spirit is. Not what he is, but who he is. Third person of the Trinity. And I even caught myself again this evening. God, explain to me. I'm trying to get a handle on the Spirit of God. And the problem is bad teaching. The Spirit of God, the Catholic Church teaches it one way, the Nazarene teaches another, the Charismatics teach it another, Assembly of God teach another. And I can't quite understand through all that teaching who He is. We've described and we know what the attributes are. But I know this is a man. Well, that's the term we use for lack of a better understanding.
He's a person.
That's better. He's not gaseous any more than God is.
Yeah.
He is exactly, let's just say, the mirror image. Maybe that's a good way to say it. He's a mirror image of God.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means he moves when God moves.
That means that he looks exactly like Jesus.
Okay. But, I mean, he doesn't hold his own. According to what I'm studying, he doesn't actually have his own thought processes. Now, that doesn't mean he can't think. I'm not saying that. But I mean that he depends upon, well, if you're looking in a mirror and I go to the left, there's an image in there that goes to the left. And if I turn, and that's the way I'm beginning to picture the Holy Spirit, that he's just absolutely a reflection of what God is doing. Now, I know that's not the best description, But I know that if God says, I believe it's time for Harry to go left, then the Holy Spirit has already started going left while he's telling Harry, let's go left. It's nearly instantaneous. If we're listening, and if you want to know the experience that I'm having in this study, and that is the Holy Spirit is not anything like I pictured him. He's a friend. He's a little bit of a cut-up. And I don't mean a joker. That's not what I mean. I mean that he's got a happy spirit. Does that make sense? And he doesn't deliver anything but encouragement. Now, I'm not saying, I didn't say compliments. I said encouragement. Now, it's what we have to settle down and understand is that if I walk over to Richard and say, Richard, it's about time to get a haircut, the way God means that is encouragement. In other words, you're going to be better if you get a haircut. And what we have to do is make up in our mind, and that's what I've been trying to teach even through Joseph, and that is that God does not have one negative thought about us. Therefore, any negative thoughts that we get, they're not from God and they're not the Holy Spirit. I didn't say if your feelings were so far out that every time the wind blew they got hurt, that you're not going to take some things negative. But if we could just get so comfortable in God, if we could get so comfortable that the Holy Spirit is for us and not against us, always, then there couldn't be anything that we heard in the Spirit that would ever make us angry, that would never hurt us, never upset us. And maybe if we could get mature enough in that, that we could then say that nobody can say anything to me that will offend me. And maybe we could become actually in the likeness and image of God. Because I don't believe that when I make a mistake, God gets offended. I always remember this one thing that I heard a testimony one time of a young lady that she'd had quite a rough life and quite an ignorant life. Do you know there's people out there that don't know anything about God? And those people are not bad people. They just don't know anything about God. They may have done some bad things, but they didn't mean to go against God. And when they finally, this lady through, I think maybe Billy Graham, I'm not too sure what her testimony about where she got saved, but she got saved outside the church. Sometimes it's safer that way. And God touched her heart. And because she had been in church, I think maybe the Catholic church even, I'm not sure, but because she had been in church, she knew that the next step was that she needed to get baptized. And she understood that to be in water. And so she took all of her theological brain power, she filled her bathtub full of hot water, or water, and she just filled her bathroom with candles because she thought, because of the Catholic influence, that that's the way you're supposed to do it. She just nearly raised the temperature 15 degrees with candles. She had so many. She got in that bathtub to get baptized. And she said, when I got in that water, I heard God laugh at me. And she was not joking. She said, I didn't feel like he was mocking me at all. But I felt like that my foolishness made him chuckle. And this caused her to cry out and say, then what? What do you want me to do? Rather than, who do you think you are? I'm sitting here trying to do what you said and you're laughing at me? See, that's the kind of foolishness we get to get away with. We get away from. And if we make God laugh, we should say, can I do it again? If that makes you happy, I'll fill it again. I'll do it again if you want. And maybe we could grow up a little bit. Anybody else, by the way, had a testimony? I didn't want to run away with the thing. I have a tendency to do that. This person, the Holy Spirit, does not make decisions on his own. Maybe that's a better way to say it. He's too busy informing us of God's decisions. Bing, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to sit down, I want you to speak, I want you to whatever. Go to the left, go to the right, go back, go forward. And all of this being good, correct?
Yes.
That's what he does. He also reminds us of Scripture, which is, to me, one of the most important things. He reminds us of Word. He reminds us of promises that were made to us by God himself. Or by, actually, he it's kind of hard to distinguish between the two. By God, the promise is the Holy Spirit. And so the promise of God is the Holy Spirit. So that promise is reminding us of what God said. Okay? Oh, yeah.
Of what?
Okay. So it would behoove the Holy Spirit to constantly remind us of Word. And that's what the Bible says he does. I find it very easy to remember Scripture. I don't know. That's not right. I don't remember quoting Scripture. I cannot quote Scripture. I don't think that's important. I think Word is important, not Scripture. Because the Bible promises that he will write Word on our heart. And I know that not to be King James. You know, when you have a chance to minister to somebody, he also pushes you into ministry. And he also holds you back from ministry. He tells you when to and when not to. Let me say it another way. I believe that unless the Holy Spirit moves you to minister, you ought to keep your mouth shut. Because it's out of time. A word out of time is a lie. The devil spoke to Jesus a word from the Bible. It was Scripture, but it was a lie. That shake your foundation a little bit? If we use the word at the wrong time, it is not truth because it's not God's timing. I have a rifle. I can shoot it. If I shoot it at the wrong time, I get arrested. If I shoot it at the right time, I get meat. Same rifle. What was the difference? I believe we need to be careful with God's word. Not afraid. I also believe that if we obey the Holy Spirit, we minister God's word sometimes without even knowing it because it's coming out of the abundance of the heart where that word has been written. Mm-hmm. Sunday night with Zito. Right?
Right.
Now, I ministered to that guy, but in a way that I didn't sound like a preacher.
Yeah.
A few years ago, a bunch of preachers, they invited me to be part of their prayer time. Let's pastors meet, preachers meet. And I thought, well, I better. And I went there, and I was there three. I went three different times. And finally somebody said, well, Stan, we haven't heard your testimony. What? And I testified to them. And, man, the place got quiet because I wasn't a preacher. I was Stan, full of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I got through, it was quiet. And one of the younger, more tender-hearted guys said, man, you sound like a preacher. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And all of them went, ugh. Who wants to sound like a preacher? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I want to sound like instant in season and out of season. And the only way to do that is by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not by memorizing Scripture. He's the one that makes all of that possible. He's the one that pushes you when you're kind of dragging your feet. He's the one that, if we're smart, if we're not smart, that's not a good word. If we're faithful, he's the one that pushes us into things that we're not prepared to do and we know it. And yet when we get through, we're more encouraged than ever before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's the one that causes me to be able to stand up here and speak. Not me. Say that?
Amen.
That's right. I remember when I went to the Nazarene Bible College for a while, I went to a New Testament class Well, there's a professor that showed up, and he was the worst teacher I ever saw. Because he couldn't stop crying. And so he's the best professor I ever had. I mean, he'd say open to so-and-so, and he'd start teaching, and he wouldn't get anywhere, and he'd just start crying. And you know what it did for me? How come he's crying? What am I seeing here? What am I missing, God? What am I missing here? So he creates a hunger through, you don't have to be all that good if the Holy Spirit is good.
Yep.
It'll create some hunger.
Yes.
That's the Holy Spirit. Let's talk a couple more things about what he does and what his attributes are. Richard?
I had a comment on that. When I was first offered the job at ARC, or told about the job, I said no. I promised myself I would never solicit or be a telemarketer. But the Holy Spirit worked on me, for a better, lack of a better word, and told me that this was a way for me to serve God. And so I said, yes, I'm interested. And he caused me to bring up things in my interview that I wouldn't normally bring up. They got me the job. And so that was definitely the Holy Spirit working God's will in me.
So maybe part of God's favor is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not just pretty.
Right.
Not just good speaker. But he goes before us and prepares the way.
Yes, ma'am.
Then he's in us to fulfill the way. And that would be great favor, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, in Titus 3:5, I don't know how fast you want me to do this. But here's what he does. He renews and he refreshes. He renews us and he refreshes us. So when I'm tired in my spirit, who's going to refresh me in my spirit?
The Holy Spirit.
If I'm tired in my body, who's going to refresh me in my body?
The Holy Spirit.
If I'm worn out, who's going to renew? See, renew and refresh is a good term. Because
yes.
If I get refreshed and I'm not renewed, what have I got? A better smell, maybe. That's about all. But if my old has now become new, then I am regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm re-excited. Do you know how the Holy Spirit can excite you? One little thought.
Yep.
Just one little thought.
Yes.
One little thought. He doesn't have to spend a lot of time. If you're willing to hear, he's willing to put that one little treasure in there that just changes the outlook.
Amen.
And he'll do that as often as we need or as often as God needs, whichever the case may be. There were some things I realized before I preached last Sunday's message. That one little thought process, that one little picture that by the Spirit got in my mind that showed me that I needed some change for something in the future. I didn't need the change that day. I needed for something. I needed some change in my life. I needed some I need to recognize some things that needed to change in my life for what I know to come in the future.
Amen.
And if I'd have stayed the same, I wouldn't be able to handle what was going to happen in the future.
That's right.
Now that's pretty cool of God, isn't it?
Yeah, amen.
Pretty cool that he puts that Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in you to do that for not just you, but for the kingdom.
Amen.
Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews 2, verse 4 says, let's see what it says. God also bearing witness both the signs and wonders of various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So he bears witness of God. He bears witness of gifts. He bears witness of miracles. Now listen, this is important. What does bear witness mean?
Confirmation.
Testify or testimony. What'd you say?
Confirmation.
Confirmation. So when I have a question about something that's going on that I may not totally understand or even may not accept. He will bear witness, and if he doesn't bear witness, then I shouldn't bear witness. Or maybe the witness that I should bear is that that doesn't bear witness. I'm telling you, when you deal in the Christian community, when you deal in church, when you deal with things of God, there's going to be a force out there that's trying to mimic the things of God. And so we need to have a confirmation, a clarification of, is this God, number one? Is this God or isn't it God? If it is, what am I supposed to do about it? If it isn't, what am I supposed to do about it? We need all of this clarification. We need it, or we're going to be like muskets that don't know exactly when to fire. We've got a lot of charge, but we don't know what to do with it. Then the other thing is, bear witness, is that if God is using somebody to say something to me, I need a witness. Let's say it's a corrective word. If somebody, God is using a situation or a person to give me a corrective word, I need to know in my heart that's of God or it's not of God. Yeah. It's very important. I mean, we've had a lot of instances that you guys know about that we just had to know it wasn't God, or we had to know it was. I have to know in my heart, number one. That's one of the things we keep studying about in Joseph. I have to know that it's God. And if I don't know it's God, then I know it's not. Right?
Yes, sir.
I remember when Steve Bunder was here. And I finally decided, over a period of time, I decided and told him a number of times. But by the Spirit, I was told that he was 90% wrong. And I told him that. And he thought I was 100% crazy. Why? Because he's never wrong. God tells him all the time, and he never makes a mistake. Now, have you ever met anybody that was 100% right?
No.
All right, then guess who we should go to for information on where it's right or wrong?
Yep,
how about miracles? Do you understand that In the end times, there are going to be fake miracles, for a better term. There's going to be miracles that come from the wrong power. And we are supposed to know whether it's right or wrong. Discern. You only do that by the Holy Spirit, right? There will be miracles performed that will fool most Christians. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making that up. So what we just need to be is not most Christians. Because we're on track. Every time we see something like that, we don't get excited. We don't do goosebumps. We don't soil the seat that we're in. We ask God.
Amen.
Stan, during the Cold War, there was a lot of people that came from Russia. One of the fellows that I knew used to go over there quite often, because of business and because of family and a few other things. And he would get there to any city that they're going to, and he would ask somebody that goes to a church if there was going to be a meeting that day or that night. And the person would say, "Wait a minute, I'll tell you." And then he would pray and say, "Yes, there's a meeting tonight. I'll take you there." And they would go through. They'd get on a streetcar and then they'd get on a, walk here and walk there and do this. And going all over the place, finally they'd come to a room, and the people were in the room. There'd be about 15, 20 people there. They're holding a service. And each person was led by the Spirit of where to be at that time. Now, when you're being suppressed by the enemy, he can't find out what's going on in your mind. He cannot read
your
mind.
That's right.
And he does not know what the Holy Spirit is doing. So That is the way those people worshiped during that time. He says it was the most amazing thing to watch. He said they're in the while they're in there in the service, they would whisper their songs because they couldn't do it out loud. Right? He said they'd leave one by one, different doors out, different ways. So I think that's how the Holy Spirit really works.
And if
you want to know how the Holy Spirit works, wow.
Well, if we would learn to treat life more correct, not more correct, totally correct, we would always be afraid of losing our life without the Holy Spirit's direction.
Yes.
We'd be a lot wiser that way. We would also not talk so much. We'd also not talk so much. Yeah. And we'd definitely not tell everybody what we know. Yeah. In America, everybody wants to tell what they know. Everybody wants to tell what they know. I don't know how many times I used to tell my kids, don't talk so much. You come around talking all the time, that person's going to know everything you know and everything they know, so they're going to be twice as smart as you.
That's right.
Just don't talk so much. Listen more. Listen more. A person that listens is a whole lot smarter than a person that talks. He has a whole lot more time to receive. I don't know why. That's getting more and more important to me. I don't know exactly why. I remember telling Amanda one time. She came up and she started talking to me. And I said, Amanda, shh, shh. I said, you have 10 seconds to get my interest. And if you don't tell me what you need to say in 15, I won't listen the rest of the time. You have that much time. I'm not important. It's just the way it works. Start talking to me. And you got about, my poor wife knows. You've got a short time to keep my interest, get the point across. Otherwise, I've got better things to do. I want to move on. You must not have anything to say if you don't get to the point. Come on.
Yeah.
Now, the Holy Spirit tells us secrets. You know that?
Yes, sir.
What did he tell John when about Revelation? Don't tell everything you see. And what did he do? He told everything. And he's caused the church misery ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Because he disobeyed God, not because he disobeyed God. And he was written down. Do you understand that there are people writing still? All right. Can I tell you something that the Holy Spirit's not? He's not a performer.
That's right.
If the church could ever learn that he's not a performer, the world would get a lot more stable. I'm not going to tell you who, and I'm not going to mock. I'm just going to tell you something that doesn't bear witness in my spirit. I was watching one of the channels, the Christian channels, and I'm not going to tell you who that was because you'd know too much. But the man said, the Holy Spirit just told me you're to, one at a time, you're to walk over there. And the guy started walking. He said, stop right there. I see God touching you right now. And the guy went, poof. Next. Stop right there. I see. Now, what is this? What are we teaching? Isn't that what it is? What was the point? What was the purpose? Well, if I strain, I could say, well, that's the obedience. That's obeying the Holy Spirit. The guys weren't obeying the Holy Spirit. They were obeying the preacher. Shouldn't those guys have some kind of witness bearing to them? Remember that time in that church we were going to. The guy got over the corner. He said, "All right, you come here." And he'd stand there and he said, "Now you won't ever get to me." And he said, "Come on, come on." And the guy get closer and fall over. Okay. I always thought bad deodorant would do that. Bad deodorant might do that. What? You know what? I sat and watched that. I saw goosebumps raise on everybody, and I thought to myself, what are we learning here? There's two showmen. That's what he's trying to say. There's me and the Holy Spirit. We're showmen. No, Holy Spirit I know is not a showman. He does what the Father wills, not what the preacher wills.
And what did these guys fall into?
What was the point? What was the purpose?
What was the cause? What was the guy's cause?
Well, they were told it was the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. Okay? I remember reading the Bible where men went into the presence of God. They came out glowing, but not fainting.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I remember two of them that fell dead.
Well, then I don't know that I want to go there. I mean, seriously, what are we teaching and how we perform? God's not a performer, therefore the Holy Spirit's not a performer. God's not a puppet, therefore the Holy Spirit's not a puppet. God doesn't do what I tell Him to do, therefore the Holy Spirit doesn't tell Him to do what I tell Him to do. Now, I am not going to mock this because maybe God did tell this man to do that, if it is, but I still have my question. What did you just teach? Well, I think what he just taught was you need to give more to my ministry. I think that's what he just taught. I don't know. If I'm missing something, God's going to be faithful and tell me. But it'll bear witness. Hebrews 3:7. And 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Now, if our hearts ever get hard, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. Because when He speaks, we tenderize. Amen. This is what's being shown here, that when we allow the Holy Spirit to move and to speak in us, it tenderizes us. It doesn't cause us to get hard. What causes hearts to get hard? As in the rebellion. Rebellion causes hearts to get hard. Rebellion in against what? What's you rebelling against? What God says.
Yes.
So, we boil it down a little further. If I hear and obey, I get tenderized. If I hear and rebel, I get a hard heart. In Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and had tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. So one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is to remind us that playing with God is dangerous. Y'all agree with that? According to that scripture? He reminds us that toying with God's will and His emotions may end up not in such good shape. Let's just be nice. So we have to be very careful. No, we have to treasure what we know God has said. Why? You know why that's necessary? Well, one, we've already found out to keep us from being hard-hearted and in rebellion. But can I go one step further? Nobody will ever treasure one word you ever say unless you treasure what God says.
Right.
So you can't be the treasure that God has designed you to be. If somebody asks me the time, I want to tell them the time. What? To the second? No. I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be close. Because if I'm not close, then from that point forward, whatever measure of variation I allow, that will continue in all of my speech. Isn't that crazy? But that's the way it is. If I'm loose with recalling situations, it's not good enough to call it ministerially speaking. You need to call it a lie. And you need to curse that from your mouth. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. I think I'll just read that. 9, verse 6. I'm going to read 6 through 15. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always... Let's see, that's 9, yeah. The priest went in the first part of the tabernacle performing services. But in the second part, the high priest went... Let's see, yeah. Second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Now we know that the Holy Spirit was manifesting things in the Old Testament. Right? It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, which through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? But we covered some territory. We see that the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus did for us. We see that the Holy Spirit reveals that even in the Old Testament, what they were doing was not enough. The sacrifice of bulls and goats, he was explaining then that there's something better to come. Right? Explaining why some of those priests that went in with a little tainted spirit were not dead. Promises. He was a promise of something better to come. And how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself? Did y'all see that? Do you know what we just learned? That it was by the Spirit that Jesus was convinced to do what he did. It was by the Spirit that Jesus kept himself without spot or wrinkle. So he could be the perfect sacrifice. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying? By the Spirit, Jesus was convinced to keep himself without spot or wrinkle so he could be the perfect sacrifice. Now, are you ready to take up your cross and follow him? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to teach you how to be without spot or wrinkle so you can be the perfect sacrifice? Which is that's a description of the bride. The bride gives herself to her groom. Sacrifices everything she has, everything she ever will be, to the groom. The Holy Spirit cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. What does that mean? That means that the only way you're going to understand how this works is to understand the Holy Spirit's doing it. Accept it without argument, without ridicule, without just accept the fact that the Holy Spirit is telling you how to accept the fact. We also have to understand because Jesus did that, he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. All of these are good that I just said, but let's back up and let's say this. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can teach us how to move away from law into eternal life. To receive or actually trade in an old, no good law for a new inheritance. And I find it very interesting that the Holy Spirit has chosen Joseph, the Old Testament, Joseph, to teach us so many new things here and now. I love the Bible because everybody tries to containerize it into two different containers, Old Testament, New Testament. You even have divisions in beliefs because of that. And in truth, Genesis, I already said, there's everything in Genesis. If you could only have one book, Genesis is the book you want. It'll teach you everything. Our trouble is that we want the Alpha and we won't keep going to find the Omega. There's no stop. There's no period in Genesis. It keeps us moving on. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. Let's read 15 through 18. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, the sins of their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now do you know that you can't believe that without the Holy Spirit? There's no way that you can latch onto that and say that's mine unless the Holy Spirit tells you, latch onto that, that's yours. It's just too big. Now where there is remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. Remission of what? Now come on, let me read the last two to you. 17. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering of sin. Remission of what? And the remembering of sin. I'm telling you, you can't give up your sin without giving up the memory of sin. Because that's the package that God offered us to us. Not because I say so, because God says so. The remission of the remembering of sin must be in place. What does that mean? That means less and less you remember about what your lawless deeds, the Bible called it. Less and less. Let me say what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. I want you to remember less and less those lawless deeds because you can't hear me talk if that's all you're thinking about. I can't speak to you because the lawless deed is too big. You won't listen to me and say when I say God doesn't remember that. I don't remember it. Why are you remembering it? In these three verses, and I'm going to put it very simply, explains the value and the great depth of our salvation. How many times? 70 times 7 a day, if necessary, 70 times 70. Come on. Your mind is faithful to bring up your lawless deeds. The Holy Spirit is more faithful to tell you to give them up. First Peter 13 says, or explains that the Holy Spirit pushes us to be, well, I'm not going to just spring that. Let's read it. First Peter 1, verse 13 through 17. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Did you hear what he said? Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, gird up your loins in the Bible generally means get to work. Right? Yep. Get going. Now he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, he reads other places, that means take control. Capture your mind. Don't let it go where it wants to go. You tell it where to go. Amen. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, who in the world is going to give us the revelation of Jesus Christ? Okay. Now let's go back and say what's therefore gird up the loins of your mind. That's number one. If you don't get that mind under control, that revelation is not going to come. Be sober. That don't mean don't drink. That means be serious about things. Quit joking around all the time. That's right. And rest your hope fully. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what I see here? Why there's not a lot of grace in the church? They haven't had the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. When's your ignorance? When you weren't sober, when you didn't gird at the loins of your mind, when you weren't, didn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Now, you want me to tell you one of the major places that the church has missed this? Snakes and vipers. All they can see is the babe in the manger. They can't see the priest in the temple. What does that mean, Stan? That means sometimes you be an advocate for righteousness. I didn't say stand up for. I said go for. That means sometimes you call things snakes and vipers. Sometimes you call your best friend devil. Is this what Jesus did?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is the only one that can give you the revelation, the full revelation of Jesus Christ. The full revelation of Jesus Christ being the babe in the manger, the priest in the temple casting out the man that would stand up with a loud mouth for what was right, the man that would be gracious to those that were wrong, the man that would pick up the cut off ear and put it back on to the soldier that's there to get him and hang him. The whole picture. You can't have the part of Jesus Christ that you want. You got to take it all.
Right.
That's what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. Here is it all. Don't be ignorant. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts and ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. There's another thing we need to learn. Without partiality, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit caused this man to write about us today. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All of this Holy Spirit has to reveal. We could read that for a long time. We need to stop. The Holy Spirit pushes us to be holy as God is. That's His work. What's our work? To listen, obey. To listen, obey. One of the things that the church in general has in their mind is they get to judge this word. You just think about that. Of all the people you know, when the word comes forth, they judge it. Yeah, but means you judged it. Well, that's for him. You judged the word. The word was put out there for you. Why did you say it was for them? You think If I just read a scripture to 100 people in here, do you think that it would not apply to 100 people in there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think one of those people would have to say, uh-huh, that belongs to Sister so-and-so? No. No, it's mine. I'm hungry for the Word. I'm thirsty for the Word. If I'm hungry and thirsty, I'm going to try to get it before you do.
Yeah.
It's mine. And don't you try to steal it.
That's right.
1 Peter 2, verse 9. Here is a word from God via the Holy Spirit. But you are a chosen generation. Now, why do Christians read this and don't value themselves? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, who has to explain that to you? You're not going to get it unless the Holy Spirit explains it to you. Because you're going to say, your ignorant mind by itself is going to say, that's not me. I don't feel very peculiar and holy. I don't feel that. I don't feel smart. I don't feel privileged. Well, who cares what you feel? This is something that God said by the Holy Spirit. So, hush your mouth, open your mind, gird the loins of your thoughts, and listen to the Holy Spirit explain to you the truth in this thing. And I promise you, there's so much truth in this one scripture. In this one scripture, it could take the rest of your life to understand it. Y'all understand that about the Word? The Word is so big. That, number one, without the Holy Spirit, you'll never grasp an inkling of it. And with the Holy Spirit, you'll never grasp an inkling of it. But you'll one way, you're just dumb. The other way, you're just being enlightened every moment of every day. Verse 10 says, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, we need to get in our mindset that the Holy Spirit is trying to convince us, even through the teaching of Joseph, that we did not have mercy, and now we do. Now I got some I can give away. So the Holy Spirit explains our value, describes our position, and what happens in our heart is we get to be thankful, so He also is encouraging us to praise. You know what causes you to praise, don't you? Two things. You're excited about who He is, and you're excited about who you are. See, that's real praise. Real praise is never effective unless you understand that because He is, you are. And then you fill it in. Does that make sense to you? I'm excited that I am a holy person. Not because of my determination. It's because I locked up my goofy brain in the jail. And now, I'll just turn it over to the Holy Spirit and say, you work on it a while. You get that crazy thing straightened out. And I'm promising you, I am a living witness to you that you don't have to have any particular talent. You just have to have a mind that can be controlled. Well, now, Stan, that sounds weird. Oh, really? You don't think God's that not after your mind? You don't think God wants to control your mind? The only way He can control your mind is if you'll stop.
Yeah.
You'll give it to Him. Get out of control. Let him say things to you that just torque you. You know, you've seen the heads that spin around on little dolls or something. That's the way the Holy Spirit wants to get us. I mean, just sometimes say something to you that your head spins three times before you can even catch it. What? That's your answer sometimes. What? It can't be. Now it's the Holy Spirit's job to say, oh, yes, it can. Let me explain. Isn't that what Paul said? What? Me? Now, come on. Isn't that what he said? When he picked himself off the ground? Yeah, you. But I can't talk. The Holy Spirit says, don't you think I can take care of that? How does it? Why does the Bible says he does it? Takes a coal off the altar and just goes, now you can. I don't understand that. Of course you don't. You can receive it. You have to receive something before you get an understanding. You get a document in the mail. You read it the first time. You don't understand your obligations to read it again until you understand. Is this a bill? Is this an advertisement? Is this an invitation to a party? What is this thing? Well, just keep reading it. It'll be revealed. You'll finally get it. Isn't that what the word's about? Got to be faithful. Got to be faithful. All right. What did I just read? 2:9. Okay, we're going to stop there simply because it's time. I appreciate what God has done by giving us His Spirit. Because it makes you so much higher than yourself, so much smarter than yourself, so much more tender than yourself. It pulls you away from past teachings and past fears and past sins. He does that. And the one thing that I can understand about the Holy Spirit, He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get angry. I get angry. I get fed up quick sometimes. And He doesn't. So He's trying to teach me how to be more like Him, not Him more like me. Hallelujah. I hope that you're girding the loins of your mind. Another picture. I hope you're tying it up and let the Holy Spirit punch it. Just bind it and let the Holy Spirit jump and kick and punch and whatever He needs to do to get the heart soft and but not the brain. It needs to be tenderized, not soft. Well, what do you mean tenderized? That means it means to be ground up and spit out in the right form. I wish there was a quick way to do this, but I don't think there is. The people that I've always met that have had a quick, fast relationship with the Holy Spirit, it turns out to be just that, quick and fast. It's over. I'm not in this for the thrill. And I'm not into it for goosebumps. And I don't want to hang around with a showman. Because they're just covered with makeup and nonsense. God's, do you understand that God's a quiet God? He comes and He sits down beside you and He puts His arms around you and He whispers. That's what we saw. Speaks softly. Genesis chapter 50. He speaks softly to you. You ever see a showman that spoke softly? First thing they do is learn how to throw their voice through the auditorium. For emphasis. God just speaks softly. Why? So you have to listen to hear. You know something else I'm finding out? There's a lot of things that keep us from hearing. Right, Harry? They're called distractions. Now, I don't care how you... What are the distractions? I'm just saying they're distractions. And today, Connie and I and Patrick are working in this big building. And it's amazing to me how wordy sometimes people get when they're a long ways off. And we were trying to converse with Patrick. He's clear on the other side of the barn. And he gets wordy. And I can't figure out a thing he's saying. Because the words are coming, but they're bouncing all on this metal and tin. I'm sure what he said was legible if I was standing right beside him. But his voice is raised, which raises the echo level. And I'm looking at Connie and saying, why don't he just give me a word answer? One word. Two words at the most. Clear. No. Yes. Left. Right. Up. Down. That's the way God is. He doesn't let. He keeps it simple so that I can understand it. He doesn't use 10 words to accomplish what 2 would do. And I appreciate that about him. Why? Because you're important? No, because I don't understand. I need to understand. So keep it simple. Just keep it simple. God, when you talk to me, just use as few words as you can, because your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I have to catch up. Give me a moment. So he will. And so he can't do that, so he sends the Holy Spirit to do that. Sits down beside me, and he speaks softly. And he says, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Amen? All right. I hope this was worth your trip and your time. If it wasn't, there's probably you have a problem. But I'll not take guilt. I know the Holy Spirit spoke through me and to me tonight. So catch up. Catch up. I have confidence. You know, I didn't used to have this confidence. But I have total confidence now that when I get up here, the Holy Spirit's going to talk. I don't have to worry about it. Even Sunday, I told somebody this, I didn't tell you all that. But Sunday, I was sitting over here and I was playing the keyboard and I was wanting Sunday to be over. I wasn't excited about the message. I knew I'd prepared one, but there wasn't anything here. And Bill had to leave. Remember Bill and Bill had to leave to go to work. Bill said before he left, he began to say, I'm so excited about what's going to happen here. I've got a feeling. I just am encouraged that God's going to do something. You remember him saying that?
Yeah.
You know what had happened? It encouraged me.
Yeah.
What it did is it reminded me that the Holy Spirit's on fire even when I'm not.
That's right. Amen.
I could have had a rough day yesterday and he didn't have a rough day. So all I got to do is be in him. I don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
And I got a lot of help. And what was strange is I got help before I got to church. Maybe that's why the fire wasn't there. I got the stuff that I needed before I got here. So I need to be that empty vessel. I need to be. That's fine. Sometimes I'm on fire and sometimes I'm not. But he is always the same. I'm with you, man. When I got through, I realized. You know when I really realized that? When I started sharing it with somebody else. Wednesday, Tuesday night. Yeah, last night. I started telling Bill what we talked about and I got excited. Because I was beginning to run through those things in my mind that I had said. And I'm going, my word, that was good. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we give you all praise and all glory. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the future. Thank you that in you it's all future. It's all glory. Glory to you. We receive that, whether we understand it or feel it now, this moment, we receive it for the future ministry, the future ministering that you're going to do through us. We don't understand it all, but we know it's big. We thank you for it in advance. Thank you that you sit down and talk with us. Thank you that you explain. Thank you that you're more faithful than us. Teach us to be holy as you're holy. I don't even know what that means, but just do it. We're the open vessels to you. Thank you for this teaching. Use us tomorrow on those new horizons. Sun comes up, opportunities come up. Use us in every way. Grow us in every day. And for these things, we thank you and give you praise. We do it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.